Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Sian Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is... The Froth.
This week's podcast was recorded in our basement in London. Our special guest is Zoe Lyons, who joins us remotely, and Barry is producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week. Frothing around the Christmas tree. Oh, be careful, you've trod on it, you clumsy twat. Well, it's your own fault for buying one that was less than a foot high, you stingy bastard. What? Special guest comedian Zoe Lyons shows off her shin-high Christmas tree. She's got a tiny Christmas tree, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
Coming up in this episode, a Brighton pier. Special guest comedian Zoe Lyons flamboyantly goes for a pee in full view of her neighbours in Brighton. No bad sex, please. We're on lockdown. The Bad Sex Awards, the literary award handed out to the writer of the worst sex scene in a novel, are cancelled due to COVID. So there'll be no enjoying sentences like, she was going at him like a coked up Nutribullet. She was making him moan like a man who's been so engrossed in his smartphone that he's fallen down a manhole and landed clunkily on the L3 area of his coccyx. There'll be nothing like this. He saw her, he wanted her, like a dog wants a discarded drumstick outside Chicken Cottage.
How's the novel coming along?
It's all right, thank you. Kissing Cousins. Ooh, in a titillating tete-a-tete with best-selling novelist Sophie Cousins, we listen with mouths dripping and trousers tented as she tells us about her main character taking their bra off. Whoa.
All right.
Well, you didn't have tented trousers. That was me and Barry. It was like a millet shop window in here when Sophie told us about one of her characters taking their bra off.
Get waterproof.
And those are the headlines.
I am sorry.
Me too. First, let's have a look at the old SM. Yeah, S&M, social media.
Okay.
People have been getting in touch. Good start.
Yeah, really good start. We've had people get in touch about Froth the Halls. Have you ever ruined Christmas?
Oh, I saw that. You put a thing out saying, have you ever ruined Christmas?
Yes.
Right.
A lot of people saying yes.
Okay.
It
was worth putting out there.
At Jimmy F70.
At Jimmy 70?
At Jimmy F70.
At Jimmy F70.
Uh-huh. Right. I lost a tenner on the last bus from Glasgow to Airdrie. How do you say that?
Was he just asking, has anyone seen it?
On Christmas Eve.
We are, just a public notice board. Stick a thing on a lamppost. Right to us.
1986. Christmas Eve,
too long ago, you'll never get that far.
Still annoys me.
What?
It still annoys me.
You put a thing out saying, have you ever ruined Christmas? And he said, I lost a tenner on a bus 35 years ago. Still annoys me.
Yeah.
How is that ruining? I mean, I can see how
tenner's that... Tenner's a lot in 1986.
It's unlikely to ruin your Christmas for
sum.
35 years.
And 10 quid?
Even 10, it wouldn't have ruined your Christmas.
I don't know. 86?
Yes. I know you were only born in 81. Believe me, I was around in 1986. If I'd lost 10 pounds in 1986, I would have been gutted. But I wouldn't have gone, that's it, Christmas is off.
You've cancelled it for less.
Oh, yeah, don't get it wrong. Yeah, out of pettiness and spite. Of course.
Out of spite, yeah, yes, of course. Not losing stuff.
Next!
Okay. At Ruggle Duggle, again.
Jesus. Have we had that once already?
No. Oh. They've got in touch and said, I won at a church Christmas raffle. Electric cleaning brush. An electric cleaning brush. Initially pleased. I love how... I think they've mistaken Twitter for telegrams, where you just keep the bare minimum, like you get
charged
for every
word. But you have to, because you don't get many characters, do you?
You get 150. You can elaborate a little bit more. But it's just one at church Christmas raffle, dash, electric cleaning brush, full stop. Initially pleased.
Right.
Opened it, batteries had leaked. And it had already been used, and it was filthy.
Right.
Ruined Christmas, that did?
Oh, I think people have got the wrong end of the stick, haven't they?
Have they?
I thought you were asking people if they'd ever ruined Christmas. They'd done something that other people had said, you've ruined Christmas, you know. Not just have you had your Christmas ruined. Boy, because some batteries had leaked.
We've had one
electric brush. Again, you see, not enough to ruin Christmas, is it?
It is.
Honestly, it's not.
Have you ever ruined Christmas?
Yeah, I've ruined Christmas, yeah.
How?
I stubbed my toe. And
Were you then in a really bad mood?
Yeah, Christmas was ruined. It was dreadful.
Did anyone notice?
Oh. Next.
Okay, Nade. My dad bought my mum a microwave. It's from Nade.
Nade as in to do in Welsh.
Did you?
Nade?
Oh, no. N-A-D-E.
Oh, N-A-D-E.
Nade.
Right, okay, Nade.
My dad bought my mum a microwave oven for Christmas years ago.
Nice.
It cost an absolute fortune.
I bet it did.
She went ballistic. She was yelling, it's not for me, it's for the house. How would you like me to buy you a drill for next Christmas? Oh, and you can shove it up your ass. Aww.
Loads of people buy people drills for Christmas. I bought my mother a microwave for Christmas once.
Did you?
Well, it's because I bought my family, the parents. Yeah, because I used to work in Curry's, we've talked about this. All of our presents from everybody to everybody, used to come from Curry's because I got staff discount. That's why I ended up with an electric carving knife on my 16th birthday. Is that the end of the bloody correspondence?
Yeah.
Right. Good. On with the show. It's lovely to see you, Zoe.
It's very lovely to see you too.
So you're in a flat in Brighton.
Yes.
You've just shown us the view.
Yeah.
It is the sea, beautiful sea, and then a massive tower block just to your
massive
right.
Massive tower block straight opposite me with all the windows that I am using as that sort of a real-life advent calendar. I wait for people to open their blinds in the morning and go, ooh, what is it today? What's a scene of domestic bliss?
Have you seen anything really juicy?
No, nothing yet, but it's quite interesting because I can see into people's living rooms and people are really boring. I mean, I know we're in a pandemic and we're not allowed to go out, but wow.
Yeah,
it's sort of 5 o'clock on the sofa for a lot of them,
Really?
I've worked out I can sit on the loo and see Worthing Pier.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Have you thought about what Worthing Pier can see when you're on the loo? They can see the Brighton Pier.
The end of pier entertainment has definitely gone off.
That's a great joke.
That was a good joke.
That was
a fucking good joke.
Even I'm impressed.
Yes, that was very good.
Even I'm impressed with that.
That was great.
My own joke.
That's so
grand.
My own joke.
You can put that in a Christmas cracker.
I'm applauding my own joke.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm very happy. I can have a poo and see Worthing Pier.
Oh, so have you thought about Worthing Pier? Can see they can see the Brighton Poor. Oh, no, that doesn't work.
No, you missed it.
Yeah. Who knew this year would pan out? But it'll be a brilliant year. By the end of this year, I'll be able to have a shit and see Worthing Pier for my bob. This is going to be a brilliant year.
Absolutely.
You're not peeing it. All the windows in that tower block, they can't see you on the toilet, can they?
No, I've worked out.
You worked out? If I put a mirror in the corner of the room, some of them can see me.
With
a lot of working out going on, Zoe.
With one door open and the other one shut, nobody can see me.
Right.
But I can see Worthing Pier. And that's like 12 miles away.
Oh, fair play.
So you know you're talking about these people with their boring lives?
Yeah.
You've worked out.
You're working out door angles while you're having a crap.
Yeah. You've got to make your own entertainment in a pandemic. Some people have, you know, learnt new skills. Oh, I have worked out how to have a threepenny bit and see Worthing Pier. All right.
So what if you're in a rush to go to the toilet and you don't quite get the doors right? And what happens then?
I just have to accept that it's going to be a less enjoyable ablution.
Have you had a chance? This brings me on to my first story. Have you had a chance to observe? You're looking out the window there, all those flats opposite you.
Yeah.
You see through some of their windows. What are they doing about Christmas? You know, can you see their Christmas sort of.
Their efforts. Yes.
Their efforts and the way they're approaching it. Because we've got our first story is going to be about. It's an etiquette expert who is being quite judgmental about people's Christmases, from their presents to what they eat to what they do to what they drink to when they do what. What have you observed about Christmas over in those flats?
They're quite, across the way, I'm going to say they like a false tree.
Do they?
Yeah. And I'm going to also say not high-end.
A cheap false tree.
Yeah, a small, cheap false tree. Mind you, I can't talk. I've got a real tree, but it's absolutely minute. It's tiny.
Is it? How small is
how
it?
How big is it?
Do you want to see my tree?
Yeah.
Do you want to see my bush?
Yes, please.
Do you
want more than a bush than a tree?
Hang on. It's a tiny little Christmas tree. It's there.
Oh my god.
That's not a fucking Christmas tree.
It is.
How big is
it? It's not. It's a basil plant with a bobble on it.
That is your one footer right there. That's your one footer.
It's so small. Yeah.
That is the smallest Christmas tree I've ever seen.
Where did you get that from?
That is amazing.
It's got
four baubles on it.
It's so cute.
Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, that is so small. I honestly, the top bit of our tree that I bent to get it through the door is bigger than that.
I know.
I'm surprised you managed to get four baubles on it.
I've got four baubles on there. It's got lights
weighted
on as well.
Down.
It does look a bit busy, to be honest. I mean, in your defence, how tall is the tree? What, about 10, 11 inches?
No, it's a one footer.
Oh, it's a one footer. Full 12.
It's a full 12.
How on earth did you get it? Because you're quite high up there. How did you get it up to that flat?
It took, well, when they brought the, I get it donated every year from Norway, very much like the Trafalgar Square. Yeah.
So, the beauty is it can go in your cabin luggage.
Yes, yes.
Did you have to move your sofa, Zoe,
to
put
that? Yeah, out of the way, but the little Norwegian trolls managed to get it in here, up on that shelf. It was quite a feat of civil engineering to watch, honestly. I won't have that awful thing on the sort of 6th of January where it's so miserable and then you're like, what are we going to do with that balding twig in the corner? It's like, don't talk to Nana like that. No, I mean the tree. So, you know, you've got, particularly bright, it's not easy to get rid of your tree. That'd be in the pedal bin.
Shove it in the bin?
That shouldn't be too difficult, I don't know.
No.
We used to have a Christmas tree on the wall.
Christmas tree on the wall?
Yeah,
who did?
And I thought it was the most normal thing. Growing up, our Christmas tree, just for space saving.
Is this your mum again,
Barry? Yeah, it's my mum, yeah. We had a Christmas tree. And
was it
a
branch?
And it was on the wall with a little basket under it, but in the kitchen, actually on the kitchen wall. And I just thought it was the most normal thing ever. And people come around and be like, what the hell have you got a Christmas tree on the wall for?
Well, nice. How do you mean on the wall, Barry?
It was fixed halfway up the wall.
Like you would on the wall of a hotel outside.
Yeah, I mean,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was like
an angle.
It was like, no, it was like flat at one side, just flat against the wall, like half of it. Yeah, it was an artificial tree.
Was it half, Baz?
Oh, it's one of those half trees with no arse on them, no back on them.
Well, it ended up like that, but it wasn't originally. It was just shoved against the wall, so it just flattened in the end. Yeah, it was every year that came out.
Oh, Barry.
Now then, let me read you this story. It's an etiquette expert. And he shared signs that your Christmas. He says these are the things to look out for, if you don't want to be common.
Right.
At Christmas. Right. He says we all do Christmas a little differently. And etiquette expert William Hansen has revealed a list of warning signs that your big day is common.
Warning, common signs. You're being common.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Novelty hats and dad jokes. They could be signs that your Christmas is common. William Hansen shared a list of pitfalls. He says, expose your festive celebrations as a little less than posh. From artificial trees, Barry.
Yep.
Yeah. On a wall.
On a wall, even worse.
No one ever thought I was posh.
No, that is true, Barry. Nobody has ever accused you of being posh.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever accused you of being posh? Because you've got a sort of semi-posh voice, Zoe. It's more characterful than posh, but it is posh, isn't it?
Somebody once did describe me as posh, and I was a bit taken aback.
Well, you sort of sound weirdly like you sound like sort of part Essex, part really posh.
It's sort of northerny, but
oh, is it?
Yeah. I've got such a weird accent because I've had about four.
It is northerny, yeah.
My slightly Midlands.
Yeah, you see, I've never lived in the Midlands because I've got taste. Because
you're posh.
Because I'm posh.
Exactly.
I think I can do posh. My mum's definitely got a posh voice, but she's got this classic sort of hyacinth bouquet voice when she answers the phone. It's like, what are you doing for? You don't talk like that.
Everyone has a telephone voice, though, don't
she's
they?
She's got like, such a telephone voice. Yeah. Such a telephone voice. I'm very middle class, I guess. Yeah. I guess, but okay. Really
no,
boring.
No shame in that,
class.
So.
Yeah.
I'll carry on reading. We recognise most of the warning signs from our big day, and now you can see how many you can tick off too. Right, okay. Opening presents.
Mm-hmm. Is that common?
No, but if you tear them open...
Yeah.
First thing in the morning, that apparently is a sign that you are common. Nobody does that after about the age of 14,
I do.
Though, do they?
I do.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, what's the point? What's the point of Christmas otherwise?
I frequently don't open presents till the evening.
That's because you come
round. Largely, the presents I get are shit.
Oi! My dad's going to be listening to this.
You've never got me a good... Oh, your dad's presents, that's different. Your dad gets me the big bin bag full of tat that I open with great pleasure when I go to his house. I'm very appreciative. But the presents you get me are always dog shit.
Carrier!
Sorry.
You see, I would have thought really, really posh people open their presents on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing of like, you know.
Yeah.
I would have thought that's a really posh thing to do. Christmas Eve,
posh,
where you're like,
it?
We're so posh that we don't even need the joy of Christmas morning because it doesn't even mean that much to us.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like we can have that
and
at any time.
They're out hunting. On Christmas
exactly.
Day, they're out killing stuff.
Yeah.
My mum used to get me... My mum is so bad at buying Christmas presents that she used to just give me money before Christmas to go and buy what I wanted. So I'd go and buy a pair of trainers or whatever it might be at that age. And she would, and I'd have to give it to her. She would then wrap it. And I'd just go through this charade of opening up the thing that I bought, right? And Ian, my mum's partner, and they've been together for years. He always used to like video in on Christmas morning, so you'd feel like he'd have his like VHS video camera out, and you'd be opening up your presents and like. And I always remember once I opened up. I've got this on video, so if I find it, I'll share it on the social media. Me at about 12 years old, and Ian's got me. I've opened it up, and it's a book, and it's a book that says 1001 questions and answers, right? Just like one of those. I've looked at it, and I've just gone. Oh, brilliant, because he's filming me, right? Okay. Oh, brilliant, yeah. I had one of these before, actually. I found out things next present. Just it's caught on video.
Brilliant.
My dad, I might have told you this before, my dad, before my dad went into his home, into the care home, the last present he gave me in his own home when I was there for Christmas... Because I've worked out, I've done 50 Christmases in my parents' home, Zoe. 50
wow.
out of 50. I've done one in Australia in 1992, where I couldn't get home, obviously from Australia, 30 years ago. And then one in my dad's care home, but 50 of the others are in my parents' house. And the last time I was there with my dad a couple of years ago, this was Christmas Day. He said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I don't mind anything. It was really great. And he literally said, well, go upstairs and there's a bookshelf on the landing, which has been there since since I was born in that house 50 years ago. And he just went, just choose anyone you want. So literally went upstairs and took one of the family books off the shelf. I just had that.
Brilliant.
Did he wrap it?
That was it. Eh? No, did he didn't bother wrapping it. He didn't even ask me what it was.
Years ago, my stepdad used to buy me Christmas presents, and he'd stopped after a while because it was just ridiculous. I got a 6-inch, like, China rabbit wearing a sombrero and playing a ukulele.
Let me just check if that's in the common Christmas service.
I just don't know what you're supposed to do with that.
You put it on the mantelpiece in full view
and
enjoy
it. Off
the I used to have a really awkward situation where my dad's my nan and granddad, my dad's parents and my auntie, for some reason, thought that I was into Charlie Chaplin, right? And I wasn't. I used to like Laurel and Hardy and Harold Lloyd when I was a kid. They were convinced I loved Charlie Chaplin. So they, every single year, birthday or present, they would get me something Charlie Chaplin related. Because it was, you know, when you've got a family member, you go,
like,
oh, that's
a little
easy.
Moustache.
Like a little matchbox with a toy Charlie Chaplin, mirrors, books, videos. My mum had to leave the room when they'd come around to drop off a Christmas or birthday because we'd get the giggles because we'd know, and I'd have to pretend I'd have all this. I've got so much I've got so much Charlie Chaplin memorabilia.
That's
ridiculous.
So funny.
My parents once got me for my 16th birthday. My mother got me an electric carving knife.
Yeah. And nice. We have a photograph of Rod with a pencil thin moustache holding an electric carving knife on, like, what is the best 80s Christmas I've ever seen.
Brilliant.
An electric carving. I'll tell you what it was, I'll tell you why. It's because I used to work in Currys. I had a Saturday job in Currys when I was about 15, 16. And so everything, every Christmas present, every birthday present came from Currys because I got staff discount.
Yeah.
So my mother would use my staff discount to buy my Christmas present. I had a clock radio already for birthday. And she was like, literally, what else from Currys can we get him?
An electric carving knife.
A Moulinex Vintage 382.
Did you carve meat in your house?
No, I've never carved it. Well, of course not. I was a 16-year-old kid. Why have you been carving meat? But my dad used that knife until the year
job.
He went into a home
oh
2 years
my
ago.
God, right, that is so funny.
He used that. It's still going, that knife. Still going. If anybody wants the Moulinex Vintage 382, still got the box.
They had quite a big engine on the back, didn't they? Substantial engine on the back.
Like,
you could probably
like
do a
chainsaw.
Hedge with it.
Yeah.
You could probably do a tree.
Yeah, totally.
Do that tree anyway. You could do your tree.
You could do your tree,
definitely.
My brother once at Christmas, I spent Christmas in America because my dad lived in America, my brother lived out there, and we my brother gave us all presents, and we opened them up, and it was this sort of aerosol spray thing, and we're like, what's this? And he's like, oh, it's a they lived in California. Go, it's like an air conditioner. You spray it. It's like a sprayed air conditioner. When we looked at it, it was like an oil that you spray on an air conditioning unit.
Oh my god!
And he bought us all thinking it was some sort of cooling spray.
Oh my god!
He thought it was air conditioner in a can.
Yes. Yes. And bought one for all. We all opened one. He was all excited. Open them all up together.
I tell you what, though, Dragon's Den, that air conditioner in a can.
If it's possible. Brilliant. I don't think it's possible.
I don't think it's possible either. Can you get chilled, compressed air that is safe to spray to your own face?
Oh, God. My granddad, when he got older, just totally, like, got rid of the idea of cards, didn't he? He wouldn't use cards, like, he wouldn't send Christmas cards.
Did he?
No, he didn't at
all.
He used to give me an envelope for Christmas. He'd just give me an envelope full of cash with the amount written on the envelope. So nothing about Merry Christmas or my name or kiss. It's just £50. And he would take
in
an advert.
Like an old-fashioned pay packet.
Yeah,
like, oh, thank you.
Like a paper round.
He would also take an ad out in the paper saying, Merry Christmas to everyone. Love, Glyn.
Oh, that's great.
Such a good idea, though.
That's
such
brilliant.
A good idea, isn't
I mean,
it?
That is social media.
Genius.
That is essentially social media. Merry Christmas to all my friends on Facebook
funny.
Or whatever. That's the same
But
thing.
It would be in between, like, someone selling a caravan, someone's, like, you know, building a pond. Merry Christmas. From everyone reading this page.
Births, deaths, Merry Christmases. So, if you tear open your presents first thing, you're common, apparently.
Right.
William, what's his face?
Etiquette expert.
William Hansen.
Oh, right, the expert.
The etiquette expert says, Christmas presents should be opened. It should be an exercise in restraint. And although stockings can be opened before breakfast, male presents should only be exchanged after the Queen's speech at 3 p.m. I've never seen the Queen's speech.
Neither have I.
I've never seen the Queen's speech.
I have.
Have you?
Have you, Barry?
Yeah, out of interest. It's tedious. Yeah.
Barry,
have you seen it, Sean?
The Queen's speech?
Yeah.
No, never.
You've never seen it?
No, nobody in my
house. None of us here have ever seen the Queen's speech.
My grandparents hated the Queen.
Oh, you saw it once out of interest?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it about?
Really, really boring. Just like just her sitting
like
there talking
church,
very slowly, and then reviewing the year. Basically, it's like a really, you know, like you get all those review of the year shows. That's the worst one.
Like a really shit Charlie Brooker.
Yeah.
You keep expecting it.
I'd love it this year if she just came on and just went, "Good evening. What the actual fuck?"
Yeah, just hands in the air.
Fuck,
I don't understand what is going on.
Whoa. Anus horribilis, time two.
Anus horribilis. It is Jesus. What an anus horribilis.
Can you believe she reckons that she doesn't watch the Crown? Or they reckon that none of them watch the Crown. There's no way, is there? If you know there's a massive TV show out there about your family, there's no way you're not watching that.
Of course.
Yeah. Tony Blair reckons that he never watched the Queen, or he's never watched anything with him in, he says.
That's a lie.
Really?
Especially for that narcissist.
Yeah,
he must have watched the news and stuff when he was on it. You're telling me Tony Blair didn't follow the news at all because he was in it?
That's funny.
Oh, that's got me a bit worried. Myself on the screen.
He just hates Michael Sheen.
What was does she put little jokes in it and stuff?
No. God, no. She's not.
Why
she's not Barack Obama.
No, but I genuinely question. I thought she might put like little amusing, little wry comments, or a little. I mean, not this year, obviously. Fuck
Two of my grandparents disliked her massively, so wouldn't watch it to make a point. And my other grandmother adored her, so every time it was on, she would stay in the kitchen and kind of everyone else would leave and go into the smaller room and and just play with the new toys.
I can't work out. Is it a posh thing to watch the Queen, or is it a common thing to watch the Queen,
it's both.
It's those people.
Both.
Yeah, it's the sort of
people.
Last night at the prom,
like the
they're either there or they're sitting at home watching it with their hand on their chest and just going, "Yeah, she's the mother of our nation."
Yeah,
you know the types.
I know the type. Okay, so none of us have ever seen it. Now then, the later in the day you open your presents, the more sophisticated you are, apparently.
Or the more disorganised you are.
That's me.
Or drunk.
Or the shitter your presents are, and you know that, so you don't bother, in my case.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with sophistication.
No.
It's just years of disappointment.
Hey,
now,
my presents aren't rubbish.
The ones I get you are good.
No, they're not.
They are.
You bought me a pot.
I did buy her
a pot.
Actually.
Like a pan.
Yeah, I did buy her like a
pan.
A pan.
Two
cooking pans.
Yeah.
Oh,
which I opened
first. I was struggling that year.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're nice pans.
Are we talking about Le Creuset pans?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but still. Love.
Okay, you're back in. That's okay, is it?
Yeah,
no,
it's not.
It's not.
Two large Le Creuset pans.
I don't cook very often.
She hasn't used them once in two years. Not one single occasion.
No.
So if anybody wants to buy two brand new Le Creuset pans,
chuck them in with the carver.
Yeah.
That's still going, isn't it? That meat
knife
carver.
Has been used more than any carving knife in the history. Just not by me. That's all. Christmas dinner. Talk us through your Christmas dinner, Zoe, and I'll tell you how common you are.
Well, we usually dine around 3.
You should be watching the Queen there. You know
that's
that
when
already.
The
yeah, 2 to 3. And then we go very traditional. We're very traditional. We will have glass of champagne, and then it's prawn cocktail, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
You have a starter.
Nice.
Yes.
My parents have a starter. Yeah. We have a starter.
Proper, yeah.
We have brown bread, smoked salmon for me, and everyone else has pate.
Oh, yeah,
that's true, actually. You do in Europe. We never had a starter in our eyes. Christ, never had a starter.
No?
No.
Oh, no, it's either prawn cocktail or a bit of smoked salmon. Yeah. Or maybe both.
Maybe both.
It's a little bit of a smorgasbord going on. Yeah.
Wow. Barry, starters on Christmas Day?
I'd have toast and pate.
Nice.
Yeah, but not really as a starter. I think just earlier on. A sort of
breakfast.
Yeah.
But nice strong Brussels pate.
Yeah. We just had cereal, usually Cocoa Pops. Somewhere. I mean, not so much as a starter. It was more like, more 3 hours earlier. Really.
5 hours earlier.
But again, my mum turned vegetarian maybe 15, 20 years
Did
ago.
She?
Yeah, and before that, she'd just buy like a Bernard Matthews turkey roll. Do you know what I mean? So it was never like a big proper turkey. Yeah. Yeah, my mum. We've discussed this before. My mum's she's lovely, but she's an awful cook.
Turkey roll.
Oh, it's easy, isn't it? Because there's no bones.
Like an Arctic roll, but with meat.
Yeah.
It says you if you stack plates with all the trimmings, then you're doing it right in our eyes. It says here, but unfortunately, you don't pass the tests for William.
Oh.
You should not pile up your plate.
What?
The meal should simply include a meat, one type of potato.
What?
That's fair enough, isn't it?
One type of potato.
You only have
Are
roast
you
potatoes.
Insane? No,
you mash
and roasties.
Mash. You don't have mash.
Mash and roasties, normal.
That's like school dinner. You don't
mash,
have mash.
Roasties, normal. And maybe a sweetie potato
what?
With
mashy
carrot thing. And chips. Yeah, and chips.
What
yeah.
a normal potato?
You know, normal.
Boiled.
Yeah.
What, so your Christmas dinner, and I know this isn't true, but I'll ask you anyway. So your Christmas dinner...
You've never had Christmas dinner with me.
I have had Christmas dinner with you. I had it last fucking year.
And what a day it was.
And yeah. you did not have roasties, mash and boiled potatoes on your plate.
I have in the past.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, not all the same year, all the same meal, all the same day.
No, but you can.
But you didn't... You don't. You can, I know you can.
No, but I don't think it's common.
Sean... Often just lies for effect. Sorry.
I don't actually.
three sort of potatoes is quite.
It's a lot.
It's quite a lot of carb.
That is
on what is already quite a carb heavy day.
Christmas.
She doesn't do it, Zoe. Don't even dwell on it. She's never had roast potatoes, mash, and boiled potatoes on one.
Okay,
Christmas.
Maybe not boiled.
Right.
Mash and the
maybe
other
not
one.
Mash either.
No, yeah, definitely mash. With sweet potato.
Well, I know
mash.
What I was going to ask you.
What?
You said that your mum was a really bad cook, Barry. A couple of weeks ago, on this very show, Zoe, we had a SBFO, the shit British food off, for whose parents or guardians were the shittest cooks. And I won it, I think. Well, I think I won it with my mother's rice and ham recipe, which was a plate of boiled rice with a piece of ham draped over the top. Which she initially forgot the ham, so it was just the rice when it was brought out. They should to go back and get the ham to put on the top. So have you got any entries for the shit British food off, bad recipes your parents had?
My mum, I always joke now that I love to be in the kitchen when she's cooking because I just love the sounds of her in the kitchen because the only sound you hear is of the opening of a microwave dinner. Bing!
I wonder what that was. That was the pricking of the cellophane.
That's it. I'm like, well, are you cooking again, Mum? It's such a homely sound. My mum would just cook vegetables until they were just translucent, like a vegetable ghost, like phantom veg.
That's true. Actually, it's only when I left home that I realised that cooking veg was actually quite a quick option.
Yes, yeah.
I'd always thought it was about an hour to cook carrots.
Yeah,
and
an hour and a half. Yeah, my mum used to also do, like, if she made beef and it would be cremated to the point of, like, a Chernobyl disaster.
Do you share snaps of your Christmas day to social media?
Nobody wants to see me sitting on my own under my one footer.
Oh, believe me, they do. We definitely want a picture of that for the social media for the froth, that
yes,
Christmas
please.
Tree with the four baubles.
You with a little glass of champagne. Who is this guy?
Yeah, who the fuck does William think he is? Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
is he posh or not?
I tell you what, who the fuck is you? You have matched the because there's some comments about this guy. And
oh god,
you echo the thoughts of one Richard Tay, who says, "What a pathetic, jumped up little cretin with the audacity to think he has the right to ridicule how people celebrate. Nasty little man, no more an expert than anyone else. I bet he'll be spending this Christmas alone."
Yeah,
nasty little man.
What does he say about advent calendars?
I think Richard Tay may have ticked a lot of the ones that are common, do you?
Yeah, possibly.
I think something's upset him in this article. What's it say about
what's
that? Advent calendars.
What's this one? Yeah. Dairy milk as well. Lovely.
Oh, a dairy milk advent calendar.
We had that a few years ago, didn't we?
I will tell you now.
So we are all the chocolates kind of nondescript.
I haven't had today's.
Okay.
Oh, that's exciting. Let's see
that
what we got.
That is exciting. Live
on air.
I reckon you've got a flake.
I just realised I haven't had yesterday's either. Oh, my God, this year has just got so much better. oh, my God. I haven't written this year off yet. I think it's going to be a cracker. it's a... Oh, it's slightly melted elf head.
Okay.
A
slightly melted elf head.
Oh, yeah. they're like sort of Freddo style, where they've made them. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we used to open them on the radio show, didn't we?
Hang on. This is today's. That was yesterday.
We haven't got one.
I'm just going to read you about advent calendars from William.
Oh, yes. What does he say?
The etiquette expert.
Nice.
He says, treating yourself to a chocolate every morning.
It's common.
It says, which may be the only thing getting us through December this year. It's unsophisticated in William's eyes.
Oh, shut up, William.
Now, you mentioned champagne earlier, Zoe.
Yes.
Let me cut to the chase. Do you have Buck's Fizz?
No.
Yes.
Oh, well, for brekkie, yes.
Yeah, in the morning.
For brekkie.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And for a rosho.
Not supposed to have Buck's Fizz.
Why not?
Common.
It's fun, though.
Common. If you go down the Christmas cocktail route, we're in serious naff territory. For example, Buck's Fizz.
I love a naff Christmas, though.
Hey, yeah.
Well, I love naff. Christmas is naff. That's the point.
Christmas is naff.
Of course it's naff.
The birth of Jesus Christ, the celebrant, is naff.
That's can you imagine not what how I'm shit, celebrating, though.
Can you imagine how shit William's Christmas is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chances, that's not what I'm celebrating.
It's not what I'm celebrating.
What are you celebrating with Christmas, though?
The naffness of it. Isn't it? The tinsel, it's kind of gaudy, but you know, you do things you wouldn't usually do, you drink too much, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well.
Avocar.
Yes.
Or snowball.
Yes. Oh,
what is
I love
a snowball?
I think it's avocar and lemonade.
Lemonade.
I don't know.
But then I put vodka in there as well, just to make it grown up. And then I don't put the avocar in or the lemonade. Oh, just
sounds
the
to me like a, sounds to me like you've gone down the Christmas cocktail route there.
Yeah.
And we all know that is Bailey's. A bit naff. Immediately underneath this article, by the way, this is from the Mirror Online, if you want to find out how to be less common at Christmas. Immediately underneath this, I just clipped it out because it amused me. The headline underneath it is 37 hairstyles for old women with thin hair.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Bad Sex Awards.
Woo!
Are you aware of the Bad Sex Awards, Zoe?
Have you won? Have you won
I'm not familiar with. Have I been nominated?
Yeah.
Bad Sex Awards. You haven't heard of those?
No.
I haven't either.
They're a literary award. A literary award.
Okay.
Every year there is a body who award something called the Bad Sex Awards. So it's for.
Is it badly
writing,
written?
Bad writing.
Badly
of
written
sexual
sex scenes.
Exploits in novels and things. So when somebody, you know.
Yeah.
Here's an example of something that might be nominated for the Bad Sex Award. So it's somebody who writes very badly about sex in their novel. Her hand is moving away from my knee and heading north.
What a hole!
Yeah, she sounds like she's in a car on the M4, on the M5.
Her hand is moving away from my knee and heading... It's written in the first person, this, unusual. Her hand is moving away from my knee and heading north. Heading unnervingly and with a steely will towards the pole.
Oh, God. The pole?
And like Sir Ranulph finds, Pamela will not easily be discouraged.
What? You can't compare it to Sir Ranulph Fiennes. Oh my God.
That is an example of the Bad Sex Awards. Just to give you a sense of what the awards are all about. They're awarded to the person who writes the worst.
What book is that? That sounds excellent.
That's brilliant.
I'll find out in a minute who that is from. But just this is the story is that the Bad Sex Awards have been cancelled because of COVID.
What?
Yeah. This is from a previous winner, this one. This, in case you hadn't gathered from the British Explorer reference, is a sex scene. And this passage by Christopher Hart in his novel Rescue Me...
I'm writing this down.
I want to read that.
You want to read it? So it's Christopher Hart, his novel Rescue Me, is a previous winner of the Bad Sex Award, which is handed out by the Literary Review every year, but not this year.
But do people turn up to accept these awards?
I'll read on. Established in 1993 by literary critic. I'm surprised you haven't heard of this award. Have you heard of it, Barry?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't, Sean?
No.
Oh. Established in 1993 by literary critic Rhoda Koenig and Oberon Waugh. It's established by Oberon Waugh and Rhoda Koenig, then editor of the magazine. It honours poorly written, redundant or downright cringeworthy passages. Okay, so I'm coming back to the novel by Christopher Hart, Rescue Me. I'll read you a little bit more.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you remember, like Sir Ranulph Fiennes, Pamela's not going to be easily discouraged as her hand moves north towards the pole.
Sir Ranulph Fiennes
got his hood up.
He lost, like, his fingers, didn't he, to frostbite?
I don't know. I think you're thinking too much into it.
Okay.
It's just his tenacity that...
That wouldn't help the sex, would it?
No.
Not really. No.
Not if you... No.
Hart continues... Ever northward moves her hand while she smiles.
Ever northward.
While she smiles languorously at my right ear.
What?
Languorously?
What?
Languorously.
Languorously.
I've never heard that word.
I've heard it, but not,
is
not
it lingering?
Applied to a smile before.
Does she mean lingery?
Languorously at my right ear. And when she reaches the North Pole, I think in wonder and terror. She'll surely want to pitch her tent.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
2020's awards have been cancelled. The magazine said the public had been subjected to too many bad things this year to justify exposing it to bad sex writing as well.
Oh, but it's enjoyable.
Well, I've got some previous ones for you here. This is a good one. Listen to this. This is an entry from the past in the an entry. I mean, it's not you don't enter the Bad Sex Awards. You get picked out by the Literary Review. Okay, this is from whose novel is it? A 2015 novel called List of the Lost. It says Eliza, and Ezra roll together into the one giggling snowball of full-figured copulation. Screaming and shouting as they playfully bit and pulled at each other in a dangerous and clamorous roller coaster coil of sexually violent rotation.
What?
Tell that you've been sucked into the Hadron Collider.
with Eliza's breasts barrel rolled across Ezra's howling mouth.
Howling? What? Howling.
They barrel rolled across barrel her howling rolled. Mouth and the pained frenzy of his bulbous salutation extenuating his excitement.
Oh, wait, there's three of them.
I don't know. I don't even know how many people there are there, or whether they're men or women or what.
Do you know what that reminds me of? You know in a cartoon where a lot of people get in a fight and it's just a circle with arms and legs coming out?
Yeah. 2021 will provide the judges with a juicy 2 years' worth of bad sex. And for writers, there's more time to nail a win. Michael Delgado works at the Literary Review and helped compile last year's shortlist. He says the judges look for overly flowery language that doesn't fit with the rest of the book and an over-reliance on metaphor and euphemism. Oh. Something like this, perhaps, from 2010's The Shape of Her by Rowan Somerville. Like a lepidopterist mounting a tough-skinned insect with a too blunt pin.
Erotic, is it?
Like a lepidopterist mounting a tough-skinned insect with a too blunt pin, he screwed himself into her.
Oh, God! That's horrendous!
So that's over-reliance on metaphor and euphemism.
That's wonderful.
And simile, I think. Or, says Delgado, who works at the Literary Review, if you remember, writers get very, very specific on detail and it doesn't leave anything to the imagination. There's no example of that.
What?
It's a shame. I've got another example. Not of that specifically. A line from John Harvey's 2019 winner. Okay. The Office and Ponds reads, his knee pushing against her lower back to open her tunic and expose a portion of naked flesh against which he would then rub his organ as if he were furtively making omelette rolls.
Furtively.
I can't.
You know what it's
even...
like when you're furtively making an omelette roll. We've all been there.
You know what's really funny about that, though? Is that every sentence throws up a new surprise.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
His knee on her back, right? What? What? And then opens her tunic, okay, different angle.
Knee.
And then omelette. What was it? Rolls.
He had to do with his. Roll?
He had to open her tunic with his knee, I think, because he was probably making the omelette rolls with his hands.
Why is he just rubbing his? Why is he rubbing his knob on her back?
Exactly.
I think that's the least of the questions that throws up. Why would you furtively be making an omelette roll? I mean, who's going to catch you?
A vegan.
It's embarrassing. Well, her, I assume. Imagine if she caught him. What are you doing?
Oh, is that what it means?
Well, she's probably going, why the hell are you making omelette rolls now?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard stories.
Multitasking.
I've heard stories of like people, you know, watching TV during the acts and stuff, but that, I mean, that's another level. Yeah. Furtively
if
making
you were
an omelette
roll. Omelette rolls during sex, you probably would be trying to do it furtively, discreetly, wouldn't you?
And from behind.
I mean, it is from behind, yes. Oh, yeah, if you're doing it on her back. I've made omelette rolls on your back
before.
What would
you say if somebody was behind you frying up an omelette roll?
I don't think you're frying them.
Well, what's he doing then?
Well, you're just doing the initial prep, aren't you? Yeah. You're just doing the initial prep on her back.
I think if someone came into the bedroom holding a giant whisk, you'd be initially concerned. You'd be like, don't worry, love. Just whip up a couple of omelettes.
Or a sizzling frying pan.
This is for me eggs, not yours.
It'd be really awkward as well if you've got like a tiny bit of shell in there as well.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Just having to get that out. Do you know James Frey? It says that some authors take the winning good spirits. James Frey, winning in 2018 for his novel Katerina, which includes a scene containing 8 separate references to ejaculate.
Oh, well done. Hats off. Yeah.
8.
Yeah, hats off. That's one of them.
Yeah.
I think we should ring the old producer of my Ask Rod Gilbert.
Old producer?
She was not old producer. She was the producer of my old show, Ask Rod Gilbert. She was a lovely producer. Very good. And
she's wonderful.
You're a friend of hers now on social media and stuff. She is now a very successful...
A brilliant novelist.
Writer, a novelist.
Yes, and her book has just made the New York Times bestseller list.
We've got her book here. So we've got Sophie Cousins' book. So Sophie Cousins, who, as I've said, used to produce my TV show. And she's now an author. And this is Sophie Cousins, This Time Next Year. 2 unlikely friends, 1 extraordinary love story. It says this...
It sounds promising.
It's got to be. It does sound promising. Yeah. It's got to be some juicy lovemaking. The characters are called Quinn and Minnie. That's promising as well.
Quinn and Minnie, yeah. Quim.
No, don't say them quickly. Quinn and Minnie.
Morrissey won it as well.
Really?
For what? Do you know what it was? The one I just read to you and I said I'm not sure who wrote it. It was Morrissey.
For List of the Lost
in 2015. Yeah. It was Morrissey. That's Eliza and Ezra with their barrel rolling across Ezra's howling mouth.
That was Morrissey.
Yeah. And he said he felt it was best to maintain an indifferent distance from the award because there are too many good things in life to let these repulsive horrors pull you down.
Oh.
He lets everything else pull him down.
Eliza's
Morrissey's...
Barrel roll. Is she there? Morrissey's
lyrics are quite
Sophie's
good.
Sophie's here. Where's Sophie?
Usually. Well, they used to be.
Novelist. Friend. Erstwhile producer, Sophie Cousins.
Yay!
Hello, Soph.
Hello!
Hey! Hello, love. How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
Oh, long it's so nice no to see you.
Yeah. Oh, lovely to see your just smiley faces.
I remember when we were working on Ashgard Gilbert, sort of about nine years ago or something. I remember you then talking about writing novels and you were going to be a writer and stuff. And look at this.
You've done it.
Sophie Cousins. Bestseller.
I know. Eventually, it happened. I know. It was always kind of, you know, when I was working in TV, in the back of my mind, I thought, yeah, one day I want to write a book for myself and do something, my kind of, my stories. Yeah.
I want to stop working on shit with Rod Gilbert. Do something worthwhile.
Just do something with my life.
Are you working? So this one, this time next year, that came out, when did that come out?
It's only just come out.
That came out here in October and in America just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's gone instant New York Times bestseller.
Yes.
So like,
yes.
Who knew?
Amazing. Oh, crazy. It's so exciting, love.
I have won the book lottery. There's so many things that need to align for anything like that to happen. So amazing. I'm very aware.
Does a pandemic help?
I think it hasn't helped. I think it hasn't helped most debut authors because actually... In a time of a pandemic, people just want to pick up authors that they know.
Okay.
They don't want to take a chance on someone new.
Yeah.
But actually, because my book is very kind of feel-good escapism, and it's actually set in a parallel 2020 where there's no COVID, I think
clever.
It has kind of benefited me because people just want something cosy and escapist, and they just that's kind of appealed.
And the title is perfect as well for this situation.
Because
we're all like, this time next year.
Next year.
I know. Funnily enough, it wasn't called that originally. It was called the 1st of January Club, and the publisher wanted to change it to this time next year. And I thought it was a little bit wishy-washy, and I wasn't sure. And then it's just been a complete result of the title.
Yeah.
Because everyone, it sums up the mood of Nation.
Totally. It's the perfect title for an hour. I mean, we launched this podcast with a similar sort of vein of just escapism. We're just going, everything's so relentlessly shit. We just want to come into this basement and just talk absolute frivolous nonsense, which is why we got you on.
Yeah.
Yay! Excellent.
We got you on specifically to talk. You'll be aware of the Bad Sex Awards.
I am very aware of them. Yes.
Is there sex in this book this time? I don't want no spoiler alerts. I don't want to give away the ending, unless the ending is just a shag. But
a good shag, not a bad one.
I would say it's PG-13. It's like, you know, there is a sexual scene, but no, it
what
doesn't.
Page?
It's not a full sex scene.
Are there boobs in there, Soph? Does it show a bit of tits?
I don't know where it is, in it. Are there boobs in it?
Yeah.
She takes her bra off and there is a moment where they get semi-naked, but then parents come in and it's kind of a comedy, like, because it's a comedy book as well, it's kind of this humour in the fact that it's like an interrupted sex scene, and that for me is like the amusement of it kind of thing. But yeah, but there has been, I don't know, rom-com like readers generally, some people have complained there's not enough steam in it, because if it's marketed as a romance, some readers want a certain amount,
a bit of,
you know,
sex. Is that true?
Tell them to just use their imagination and imagine what happened if it hadn't been interrupted.
or go and get a Mills and Boone from the library.
Yeah, or Razzle.
But I've sometimes read I've read chicklets before, and sometimes it goes into a graphic sex, quite graphic, and I've gone, whoa, I was not, like, I don't want this in my rom-commy world. Like, proper, like, talks about, you know...
I know, and I think also, I think cover is very, like, important for this kind of book, because you know the kind of cover that's got a half-naked man on with a torso, like, against
sheets.
A wall?
Yeah, loads of sheets.
You know that's going to have sex scenes in it. Whereas if you've got like, so mine, which is more like sparkly and like it's got illustrated figures, you're probably not necessarily going to have anything clothed. Too X-rated. Yeah.
It's a lovely sketch.
I can look at the front of that and go, she gets her bra off and they're interrupted. I can see that just they're looking
fully,
at the cover.
Yeah, fully clothed sketch. A lovely couple. He's got a man bag on. There's not going to be massive like penises and stuff.
How aware, when you're writing something like that, right? Or are you writing another one now? Have you started the next one yet?
I am. And actually, my editor did say, can you put a bit more sex in the next one?
Really? Oh.
So when you're writing a book like that, and you're writing the raunchy bit, even if it's uninterrupted, you know, even if it's just a bra coming out, you've got to choose your words. You've got to describe a bra being taken. How aware are you of the bad sex awards loom? Do they loom over you like a, you know, are you sort of aware of them? Are you trying to avoid that? Do you not care?
I think what really makes things super cringe is just like a bad metaphor in writing is bad at any time, but a bad metaphor about sex is just, there's just something so jarring about it that just really pulls you out of the scene. You know, if someone describes a sunset in a, you know, oh, it was like a firework and on the horizon, you know, you just think, okay, fine, but you gloss over it. But I think a bad metaphor in sex is just the worst.
So thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Christmas.
Lovely to talk
to
you guys.
So much, love. Thanks,
well. Thank you. You too.
What have you got coming up next, Zoe?
Well, I was lucky enough to get in the can a game show during COVID that's coming out on BBC in January.
Oh. So, BBC?
BBC Two, 6:30. Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Lightning. So it starts, I think it's the 25th of Jan, for 5 weeks, 5 nights a week.
Oh, wow.
Brilliant. Whoa. Wow. You've landed the Holy Grail, the Daily Show, the new Pointless. You've done
the
that's
new
incredible.
Quiz show, which was so much fun to do because the punters, the cast they got on it, the punters were just brilliant fun.
What a great time. I mean, listen, I'm sure it's not about the money. What a great time, seeing as all live work is pretty much closed up. What a great time to land a Daily show on TV. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
So, good luck with that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thank you.
Good
thank
luck
you.
On getting another series. And thanks
thank
so much
you.
For joining us.
Thank
and
you
we
so
will
much.
See you soon.
Total pleasure.
Thanks so much, Zoe.
Thank you, love.
Lovely
thank
to see you.
Happy
Merry
Christmas.
And you. Take care of yourself.
Bye. Bye. That's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks to special guest Zoe Lyons, at Zoe Lyons on Twitter, and to Sophie Cousins. Check out her brand new best-selling debut novel, This Time Next Year.
You can contact us at The Froth Podcast, where you'll get extra froth content. Don't forget the exciting new email facility. Our email address is hello@thefrothpodcast.com.
And if you enjoyed this nonsense, don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars. This podcast was a Fan Bobble Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.